The final game of the regular season is a Thursday game. It'll be at Pridgen Stadium, and the Bryan Vikings will take on Cypress Woods. And, Coach, looking at your lineup, and I almost feel like you need to introduce some of these guys to me. You have so many new guys in there. You went into that game last week against Cy Ranch with injuries and picked up a lot more during the game.
Yeah, you know, they say that's just the way it works out. But we've had more than our share. But, you know, a lot of kids are getting to play, and you, it's just part of the game. And it's been disappointing, discouraging, frustrating. But we're still going to line up, let them on each side of the ball and go get after it.
All right, I've got to ask you about the play that where the officials changed a call after a timeout. And you, at the time, had the ball at midfield. I don't know that what they did was the wrong thing to do, but how they did it is something you just don't see very often in high school football. Take a timeout and then change a play immediately after. And I thought it was really important because field position was so important in this game.
Yeah, you know, you don't see it happen very often. I've seen it once or twice, and we've already discussed that. But we had survived a horrible start against a really good football team, and it's still 0-0. Could we have flipped it early in the middle of the quarter, maybe things bounce our way. But you know, ultimately, offensively, we gave them two easy turnovers. Our defense kept playing great. And it was just once again a very frustrating game. I felt like that offensively we had a better plan than what we showed, but certainly Ranch has got a really good defense right behind our defense, but we play against our defense every day in practice. So we were ready to play better than that and just didn't get it done. But I was sure, once again, very proud of our defense.
Yeah, defense has just been outstanding all year long. I talked a little bit about this when we were talking off the air earlier, that you have, a lot of times you'll see somebody run in there and they say, well, they ran into a brick wall. It really seems like a brick wall the way you guys have played, particularly up front. They come to just complete halts when they run inside against this defense at times.
Yeah, you know, we've discussed this, and Coach Brett Page has been here since I came back, and he's an old Bryan Viking and played at Merritt Hardin Baylor on some good defenses. But his group, you know, Mike Rice has been around here coaching the secondary. Ben Gallego came up from SFA and been working here for 13 or 14 years. Mike Woodward, who played for me at Consolidated, coached with me at Harker Heights, and now back here, just outstanding defensive line coach, Paul Ruiz. And it's just, you know, they have done an outstanding job. In this day and time, to watch the defense that we've got to watch on the field as well in the video room, it's very pleasing that somebody can be that effective against these offenses. And certainly you're not going to shut anybody out anymore, but been an outstanding year for our team. And all we just want to do is finish up this next game and still be on top as the best defense in the district.
With the season wrapping up in this contest tonight, since you brought up some of the coaches, let's talk a little bit about your coaching staff. I always thought that the coaching staff is the first group you put together. You want to build, you know, aspects of every team. Well, that's the first team you build when you put that staff together, right?
You're exactly right. And, you know, when I took this job, I came out of retirement after Bob had stepped down Dwight Patrick had stepped down. They had an opening before, so I was able to bring in the guys that had been with me at Harker House before. You know, Brett had been with me a couple of years before he ended up at Churchill. Keith Muehlstein had been with me, and he had bounced around. And then Matt Faldon. So I was able to bring in three guys who had worked for me. They knew they had the foundation. It's not like you have to go start everything new because you've got guys in there that are familiar with what you want to do. So whether it be osmosis or whatever, they can – they don't have to just look to me, ask questions. They can see the other coaches. And it was as much fun as I've had. We went to Harker Heights in 2000 and took a lot of young coaches, but I had some older coaches that decided to go with me, and then my brother was already over there and picked up a couple others. But that was a lot of fun, that staff. And this one has been ever been as much fun because I told the guys when I came in, hey, you know, loyalty starts at the top. And if I'm going to be loyal to every one of y'all, if y'all, you know, it reciprocates, bounces back toward me. So if you want to stay, you know, join in, let's have fun. And you know, if you don't feel like it's the job for you, then you can move on. But Bryan High and the administration and the school board, they've allowed me to have a lot of good things happen and a lot of good coaches here that I think are doing an outstanding job. It's just these last 2 years have been pretty tough.
Let's talk about a couple of things as we do begin to wrap up the season. Some things that I've been wanting to ask you about anyway, but this gives us a little more of an opportunity to do it. Last year you chose not to go with spring practice. Are you thinking about that? Part of it was because you didn't have enough healthy linemen. Are you thinking about what the situation is coming up? Are you considering, did it go well, I guess is what I'm asking, with the two scrimmages in the summer, or were you happy with that? Or are you thinking spring's the best way to go?
You know, it's scary because of the injuries that we've had this year. And some of the reason we didn't go, the main reason, we shorted linemen going into spring ball. But I think the UIL has made some changes. They allow us to use dummies. That allowed us to use boxer helmets or whatever you want to call them, 7-on-7 helmets. So we probably get a little more done than we used to when we couldn't put anything on. And we can tackle the tackling dummies, and we can block on blocking dummies. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting thought. Last year, I thought it was kind of out of necessity, but they've made changes since then. And so we'll just reevaluate. But certainly I don't think it's as clear-cut where I used to think we had to have spring ball for a lineman to really work on their technique, and knowing that if you got an ankle injury or bruised knee or something, you had time to get well. That's still going to be a consideration, but, you know, we'll see. But the UIL has made some changes, and there's even been talk, and I don't think it's right away, but maybe even allowing 10 days of padded workout and still have two scrimmages. So we'll see.
Well, one of the other things the UIL has done, and they did this in their last legislative council meeting, they also added some opportunities for coaches in the summer to have more direct teaching opportunities with players. What are your thoughts about that?
I think it's directed at schools that, like ourselves, and some people that maybe don't have the wherewithal, finances to send their kids to camp and send their kids to all these different things that you can do. And so now they can be specific with our coaches working on their route running or working on technique as offense or defensive line. So it may be probably a step in the right direction, but we're trying to balance the board because so many schools, your West Lakes, your Highland Parks, they're going to get that anyway, the Woodlands. Those kids, if they choose, if they want to, they can go to camp every week if they want to and work with different people. And certainly some of our kids don't have that chance. So I think that's what the UIL is trying to accomplish.
All right, we're not going to only talk about the off-season things. Before we sing Don Meredith's Turn Out the Lights, there is still a football game to play, and we will talk about tonight's game against Cy Woods. Is the opponent tonight for the Bryan Vikings. We're visiting again with Ross Rogers, head coach of the Vikings. And Coach, we talked about some of the defensive coaches a little bit earlier. Let's kind of run through more of your coaching staff because, as we said, it's a pretty special bond between guys who are up here with one another an awful lot during the course of the season. A lot of people have no idea. They think Friday nights is when you're out here. You're out here a lot.
Yeah, we get a lot of calls. You're still at the office? You know, from parents or from friends of mine that are new friends because, you know, my wife is, you don't understand, it's football season. So, you know, we try to get us home as quick as we can. Some of my coaches have younger kids and families that they need to take care of. But so it's maybe not with, I think huddle has changed some of this. Because our kids, coaches can go back, watch practice, go home, watch opponent, watch your own practice, and text each other or call each other if we need to. So we can get a lot more done, not having to be face-to-face. But, you know, I'm real proud of our offensive staff, and it's been a tough year on us with a lot of the injuries and things we've gone through. Like I said, nearly every position's been hit by injuries. And Keith Muehlstein, who was with me a little bit at Consolidated in Harker Heights, and now he's been here. You know, worked with Brett on the defensive side, came over when Matt stepped down, Falden, and helped him with the offense. Robert Jesrin's been a longtime offensive line coach all over the state, was here when I got here, and he and Michael Gibson have worked with our offensive line and do a good job with the kids that we've been given. Chris Biggs has moved around from both sides. Now he's out with our receivers. Chris Johnson came back, you know, after playing here and went to Baylor and brought him back to kind of helped me with the quarterbacks and coaches, and so he's getting where he needs to be as a quarterback coach, and so we're going to continue to work on that. And then Enrique Luna, who, you know, he works for the offense, but basically he runs our JVs. Like on a Friday when we're already had the JV games, he's finishing up the week with them while we're still getting practices, and then he helps us, of course, on Friday night. So I'm real proud of the staff. I hope I haven't forgotten anybody.
Well, I will say this about Coach Luna. He sends me so much information every week, and it's so greatly appreciated. I'm probably going to have to get another printer to be able to print all the stuff that the information he does send me about the Vikings.
Yeah, he's special. He takes care of a lot of little issues for us. He's a ever ready bunny or energetic bunny. He never sits down. He's got total injury. And then, you know, he does this while trying to get his softball team ready. And now it won't be long before softball gets started. And I'm proud that what he's done. And he brings such a blue pride to this because he's an old Viking. And he carries that Viking pride with him everywhere he goes.
Let's talk about Cy Woods. This is a team that an outstanding running team. And I got the feeling all year long as we talked about teams out there that you guys had a tremendous amount of respect for what they're doing. And they don't run the wishbone quite like you saw against Waller in the opening of the season, but they run it pretty well.
No, there's no doubt. If you watch Navy or I guess I don't know if Army's still in or Air Force, they do everything. They break the bone a little more than you used to see. They do the double slot where the back coming in motion or stopping and going back to the way they were faking. And they do a really good job with it. Coach Trent Faith and his offensive line guys, they come off low and hard. You'll see a lot of linebacker legs coming up if you don't play the right technique. And, you know, they're going to truly read it. I mean, it's not where you used to get some pre-snap reads and we're going to take away the dive and quarterback, it's a quarterback pitch or you know, it's going to be diving quarterback this time. They actually do a good job reading it. But they will break out and go to an I-veer, and they'll run some of the power read stuff that we do. So I don't know how many hours a day they have on offense, but they're doing a good job of using their time.
That 50-year-old offense, the wishbone, it has some adaptations to it now that maybe it didn't have in the past. But it's still tough to defend. And every time I talk to coaches, they say it's all about doing your assignments. Don't get too caught up in what you see. You go where you need to be.
You better be assignment driven. And if you get your eyes if you get bad eyes, you're gonna get lost, and you're not gonna be effective. Not that the wing tee offense doesn't do that to you. Not that the RPOs nowadays in the regular offenses you see, but certainly in the wishbone, you better be assignment driven, and that's hopefully what we will be.
All right, that's what you did really well against Waller at the beginning of the year. I don't think they ever got an outside option that even got back to the line of scrimmage, which was, I thought, a remarkable performance against an option team. You have to continue to do those kind of things to have a shot in this game, I would think.
Yeah, and they've got a good quarterback, just like Waller had, a big, strong kid that's going to keep the ball. And he doesn't mind running at all. And more times he runs it, it sets up the pitch. But you better stay with what you're supposed to be tackling. And we better, stick with that. And, we've already visited about that. But they do a number of different things. You know, Carson Danner is the kid's name. He's already thrown for 1,100-something yards, I think, with probably rushing for 400-500 yards because he's been effective doing it, and you can tell this is something he's done for a long, long time because they'll jump from the inside of here, which is traditionally what you see running in the B gap or at the guard's butt, to run it reading somebody outside the tackle. And so he slides around and does that, and the fullbacks, certainly some games he's going to get 20 carries and some games he only get 3 or 4 carries. But they do a good job of it, and like I said, I respect what they do and how well they do it.
What I remember when we talked about the Waller game was that when you do decide to pass after all that option stuff, and of course you're going to get that option fake as well, you're going to have one-on-one coverage out there. You don't really have very much option defensively because you're having to stop that option play.
Yeah, you better get hands on receivers and stay with your assignment, because people have gone to this double slot wishbone, which I tried it way back at Giddings for a while. I found out that you better have a slew of running backs. So we went from that wishbone veer to the eye veer, so you only had to have one pitch back, basically. And that's where I came up more with slot back. But we were running a lot of inside veer. But you create one-on-one situations, and there's no way around it. Either your corner's got to have a pitch, or the safety's got to have a pitch, and when they pitch it out there. And you better be there because they're going to pitch it well and they're going to run it well.
Defensively, what do we expect from on that side of the ball?
There are a whole lot. Look like they've gone to the same school, Cy Ranch. His safety's going to be up there effective. If you give them multiple receivers, they're going to slide their cover four looking secondary. Both safeties might be really in the middle to favor one side of the field with the cornerback there with Willie helping him. So very much like what we saw last week against Ranch, and we've seen that quite a bit. You know, Langham's done a lot of that, and so a number of the teams have been a true 3-4 defense, and they're pretty much that way. They don't like to change their front, and I will say this: their front is a good physical front. They've done a good job against a lot of people. They have blocked them and gotten big plays, but it hadn't been because they run over them.
Cy Woods being the final game of the season, and it's a disappointment when you don't make the playoffs, I think, for everybody these days. If you can't get in, it's not what you wanted. But your thoughts about this season, because there have been some positive things, and this defense has been just brilliant at times.
Yeah, it's really been fun to watch them, as I said earlier. We got a lot of these guys coming back. I mean, we're going to lose some good seniors, don't get me wrong, we always do. But we've got a good nucleus coming back, so hopefully some of the things that we've done, we can fill some kids in that will come once again start off the good defense next year. And, you know, we're bringing back a lot of offensive linemen. We're going to see a lot of that this week. I mean, you got Bright and Tyler Allen, who will be back this week playing, but you've got some guys like Jonathan Flores and Mac Math and Ali. I'm trying to think. Oh, Jacob Bennett and we've got some other guys we brought up. So. Yeah, we'll have a nucleus there as well, and our quarterback, Kerry, will not be able to play tonight with a broken toe he suffered right at halftime the other night. But he and Nico will both be back for their junior and senior year, so it's a good feeling to have quarterbacks coming back. And we've got some running backs who've carried the ball to be back, and we got some guys on JV and freshmen I was very impressed with. So it's always positive things to look forward. It's as you said earlier, you kind of go through a wake, when the season's over. You just feel like that ifs and buts and candy and nuts, We just lost a couple of games that certainly I felt like we outplayed those people. And we didn't get it done on the scoreboard. And that's where it's got to be done. So, yeah, we'll lick our wounds and we'll all feel better when it quits hurting, maybe around January.
Okay, well, have fun tonight. Cy Woods is the opponent tonight in this Thursday night football game at Pritchin Stadium. We'll be back for the kickoff of that game after this.